Speaking of Peter Frampton, here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah, Frampton Comes Alive, great double album set.
All right.
Going back to, I want to say early 80s, but don't quote me. And I'm not a music audiophile, whatever they call those folks. I'm not that. But I do enjoy some good old music.
All right. Is there any new musicians that you like?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Did you?
New. Give me some names. I'll throw some names out. Maybe I'll be able to respond.
Have you figured out who Chapel Roan is yet?
I saw a picture of her. She looks very young. How old is she?
I think she's young. I think she's in her mid-20s.
Couldn't name a song she sings.
Well, maybe Rhea's going to play some on the next comeback. We'll play
quick,
some Chapel
Real
Roan.
Quick, if you have not seen SNL's 50 years of SNL music, watch it.
Okay.
It's Christian Snyder, who's sort of the definitive expert on Saturday Night Live. He's doing a year-by-year analysis. Eventually, he'll probably have a book coming out, and he does his podcast. This thing is amazing because you see everybody who's been on that show, which is everybody, Beatles included.
Beatles were on SNL?
Not two of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Three of them separately.
Got it. All right. So I like to give you a hard time about how much vacation you get to take. Mm-hmm. I don't know who takes more vacation, you or John McCure.
I think John has me.
All right.
Yeah.
But lots of it is because you do listener trips,
which is work.
I can't wait to be able to get to the point in my career where I have enough people who are excited to go on vacation.
Where would you go?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Mm-hmm. That's why I asked.
I'm trying to think. I've not been to Germany. There's a lot of European countries I still haven't been to. Haven't been to Germany.
I was there twice this last summer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you have gone. So you went. Where did you go last year? You were in Italy.
Last year, it's all a blur now.
Trips. So which one?
Couple trips in Germany. Obviously in Vegas, like 4 or 5 times. Last year wasn't a big year. I've been to Italy like 4 or 5 times. I've been to all over the Mediterranean. I'm capping it off with Sicily. I've got Egypt coming up next year.
That's almost like
Scotland
the
this
Thailand
summer
trip.
For a couple weeks.
So what? Out of all the places you've gone, what was the busiest? Like, what had the most? What felt the most touristy?
The room that I was in was the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
Insane. I would say Rome. There's a lot of people packed in.
I've been to Rome, and yeah, that
Colosseum. I mean, there's a lot of room there. But
it's still a lot of tourists.
And I get that it doesn't give you the best experience when you're with that many people. Like for example, Sistine Chapel, it was just too many people. I wanted to get out of there. Cool, let's get out of here.
That was a similar experience that I had. All right, so I'm bringing this up because there is have you heard of this term, over tourism?
Yes, yes.
I had not heard
of
this.
It's a big story in Europe, big story.
And so basically, you know, as of last year, 1.4 billion people visited another country. That's crazy.
Well, there's a couple things.
And I guess if you're talking about Europe, it's very easy to get from country to country. Mm-hmm. For us, it's a lot, you know, unless you're going to Canada or Mexico, you got to get in a plane or a boat or something. But still, 1.4 billion people getting out of their country is a pretty big number.
I will say, having spent at least 7 trips to Europe, I have not experienced this from people that I've, you know, been around. You know, people from Germany, people from Italy, people from France. I've never experienced that. Matter of fact, they were outwardly awesome to be around. Where I hear it's critical is places like Spain and Portugal. I don't think they weren't used to seeing a lot of people, and now they're being bombarded because Portugal is one of the hottest travel places. You talk to anybody, go to Portugal. It's like the place. So those folks are saying, we can't handle this crowd that's here.
Well, so now there's more regulations that are coming as far as countries trying to control how much tourism is happening. So in 2025, New Zealand introduced a $57 tourist tax. Pompeii, which have you been to Pompeii?
I have, yeah.
Is capping daily visitors, and Ibiza is limiting how many cruise ships can dock at the same time. And France, the Czech Republic, Greece are all imposing higher taxes on Airbnbs and short-term rentals for foreign visitors. Are any of these regulations deterrents for you who travels a lot?
No. I'm at the age where I want to see stuff, and like I said, I rattled off a bunch of places that I want to go to. I got to see them. I have to see them before I pass away or whatever happens to me. And this is a good time of life to do it. It won't get in my way. But here's the other thing. There's bad tourists and there's good tourists. And I think some people think they can take their American values and their nonsense, which somebody who talks about politics, to another country. They're not interested in your BS. They will be nice if you're nice. And if you act like pick a, but a weird, I don't, weird person.
I don't know if that's what that the... Because what I understand over tourism to be is more about the infrastructure of being able to have the capacity of that many people, less so than tourists behaving poorly.
I think it's a combination, but I'll give you a real life example of what you just talked about. We're in Germany. One of our ports had so many ships. We had to dock like downriver, and they set up this crude bridge, and we had a walk of about, I think it was almost a mile to get to a road. Some people weren't looking after a long day sightseeing to do a mile long excursion in and off the boat. That's the kind of stuff that's happening because they're not set up for this stuff. It's a lot of extra things. And tourism has never been more popular than right now.
Well, it's also so easy.
It's simple. I'm hosting the Fox World Travel Show on Saturday and the Fix It Show for all those folks out there. I will be the host along
this Saturday.
Yeah. David Nason. I think Rose is doing it as well, which I love. I'll do that every Saturday if they want me to do it. Not that I want to take Dayton Kane's employment away, but people want to travel. They want to see
stuff. People
want
to travel, but I'm saying, I guess in this attempt to control it more, what do you think the deterrent would have to be and striking the balance of the impact, the positive impact on the economy when there are tourists, while still preserving, especially some of these places that are very, very old, and actually being able to keep the authenticity of the experience intact without it just kind of getting ruined because are you really experiencing something if you're just surrounded by tourists?
You mentioned it, Pompeii. I was in Pompeii last year. It wasn't a crowded day. It was kind of a lousy weather day. So we actually were one of the few groups, which was amazing to me. I don't care if it's a light drizzle. It's Pompeii, which is ancient and old and has all the cool stuff I like. Where you see this, a glaring example of this is Venice.
So this is an interesting. So my brother got to go to Venice during COVID.
Wow.
And so it was empty.
Yeah.
And
which is a different
I've never
experience.
Been to Venice, but the pictures that they got while they were there, it was a once in a lifetime opportunity because otherwise, I mean, Venice is basically sinking, right? Because it's so overpopulated. I
below
mean,
the, sea
with
level.
Tourists, it's below sea level, and there's usually so many people there, and it is so crowded. And for that exact reason of like, how do you limit so you can preserve?
You have to put quotas.
Yeah.
Now, here's a tip for Venice. Go real, I'm talking like sunrise, be on the ground, off your ship, or wherever you're, walk around. Then there's not many people. You hit like the late or mid morning, way too many people.
All right. That's where are you going next?
Scotland.
But you're going to Bahamas.
Oh, that's just me and Kath, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like how you don't even count that. You're like, I'm going for a week to a tropical island. I don't even count that.
Just get a little sun, that's all.
All right. He's Steve Scafidi. I'm Kristen Bride. This is Spanning the State. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, Steve, have you filed your taxes yet?
No.
Are you a extension guy?
No.
April 15th guy?
You'll
be done in the next month?
We always pay, so we wait till the last possible moment to pay.
All right, so you guys do it. It will be April.
The trick is to not pay too much because you're giving the government a free loan. We try to manage the amounts.
Okay. But do you pay someone to do it?
No, Kathy does it because she's brilliant at math.
Oh,
and,
great.
And she's got to be pretty good at taxes, too.
There you go. All right. Well.
Do you pay someone?
I used to pay TurboTax when I was not married.
Yeah. Everybody does
and
that.
And I would do the whatever, $200 or whatever. The thing about doing TurboTax is they're always, if you go through it and you don't know enough about taxes, the scare tactics that they use of like, oh, if you upgrade to this extra package, we'll make sure that you actually will never get audited. And you're like, oh, I should probably pay for that. And so I used to do, for years my dad did it because I was lucky enough to have someone who knew what he was doing. And then when I decided to be an adult, I was doing TurboTax. And then I've only been married for 2 years, but we filed last year together. But Mike, since he's an entrepreneur, has an actual accountant do our taxes.
Which I would suggest to people, if you have complex taxes or tax forms you have to fill out, get an accountant.
Have someone that can actually know what they're doing. But this, I think, is very good news. So there was a trial test last year, and now Wisconsin has added themselves to the roster of states. They are one of the 25 states that are now using the IRS direct file system, which if you are making less than $200,000 and you don't have, what is the other contingent as far as who's, there's one other qualification that you have to have, but you can now file your taxes for free, which for a long time, as you can imagine, Intuit did not want to have happen.
Shouldn't this is a big question. We're not going to answer it here. Shouldn't taxes be as simple as possible? And shouldn't the act of filing be free also?
Yes.
Of course.
And so the fact that it took this long, and it was the big tax lobby that kept this from happening sooner, but finally, Wisconsin is available, directfile.irs.gov, if you want to check that out. But when we come back, Netflix, is it the new cable?
Mm.
Steve has opinions. But first, ABC News and local headlines. It's Spanning the State. I am Kristen Bry.
Steve Scafidi. I think Rhea's next level with her bump music today.
Oh, she didn't play Chapel Roan yet.
Yeah.
Next one.
I don't think I'm going to recognize any Chapel Roan, but we'll see. I could be surprised.
I wonder if you would like it.
I don't know. I won't know until I hear it.
You have to keep thinking. I would like you to actually come up with the youngest artist that you are a fan of has been introduced to the world in the last
decade. I used to surprise people early on in the show's history with the fact I love Eminem.
That does surprise me.
You talk about great workout music. You want to punch somebody and punch a wall and run as fast as you can when you listen to Eminem. That's why I used to.
Do you think you could be like Obama and drop Lose Yourself right now if
no.
you needed to?
I'm not that guy. I never remember lyrics. Remember when, speaking of Brian Noonan, he dropped the lyrics for my favorite song, Bobby Jean? I don't even know the lyrics to that song. I just love the song.
That doesn't surprise me that Brian just has lyrics on the tip of his tongue.
I'm not wired that way.
You know who else is wired that way? Stephen Colbert.
Yes.
He can just drop a sonnet.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you.
Well, Jimmy Fallon, same thing.
Jimmy Fallon can?
Oh, my God. He knows every lyric to every song.
Does he?
Every genre. Huh. Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of, those are two guys who you cannot see on Netflix.
No.
But as of right now, you can see a lot of different things on Netflix. They're doing live events. They're doing football. They're doing, obviously, they constantly have new shows coming out. And so is it suffice to say that Netflix won the streaming wars?
You asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Undeniably. They're the best. That's the Cadillac, if to use an old car term.
So is that, would you find yourself, how many different things do you stream? Or how many different streaming
Someone just
services
asked me this.
Do you pay for?
So I have YouTube TV. That's how I get my
cable.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, basically. All right. So Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Apple Plus. I'm missing one. Paramount Plus. Is that another one?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
You pay for it? Yeah.
Disney.
So Disney and Hulu, I think, come together.
That's right. So that's the ones I have.
So basically, you're now pretty much the same. We have Netflix, Amazon Prime, which comes obviously with your Prime membership, I think, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know. Disney and Hulu, Apple, we also have Max. So
this
is the thing. We have so many, and I don't even have that much time to watch TV anymore.
And you never will have enough time.
And it's more expensive, and because Mike just signed up for YouTube TV too, so he goes to watch sports and all the other things. So now it feels like the streaming plus some kind of cable is way more expensive than what everyone was complaining about before, which was how cable had ballooned, right?
We're not at that point yet, because I was at one point. I had a whole war against cable providers. I was paying $225. Yeah, it was nuts. We're not at that point yet. I think we're probably in the 150, 160 range for all that stuff assembled together.
So, but this is over the last 10 years, Netflix went from being $7.99 a month to now the subscription that is ad free is $17.99 a month.
Still a bargain.
But are we getting to the point, if they've won the streaming wars, that they're just going to be able to continue upping the price, and it will balloon to what cable was?
Yeah, they will get to that point, and then we, the consumer, will have choices to make. Maybe instead of, what if I have five, I'll have two to keep the cost down.
Okay.
But Netflix, it's not even close. I watch a lot of that content because I've given up on local TV, and I've certainly given up on network broadcast TV. It's trash.
All these adult sitcoms and stuff?
They don't even do sitcoms. They don't do anything interesting. It's all these reality shows and reality. Why do we need more game shows? Seriously, are we morons? What is the fascination with adult game shows? I don't get it.
What game shows are you talking about?
Every famous person that's a celebrity has their own game show now. Now there's, I just saw this commercial. Deal or No Deal Island. Why do we need that? There was a Deal or No Deal.
It's cheap to make.
It's stupid. We are a bunch of freaking morons in this country. Wake your up. I'm hot today.
I got a lot of hot takes. We got to get you one of those rage rooms. All right. So you think, so Netflix won the...
It's not even close.
All right.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. I just, there's enough things on other services that I feel like the content on other services is better. I'm not wildly impressed when I sign into Netflix on what my options are. So there's more times than not, I feel like I sign into Netflix, I look at the things the algorithm has fed me, and I kind of feel like, meh. Like, I honestly think we could cancel Netflix and I wouldn't know the difference.
Really? Because I will sample the other ones, but I always go back to Netflix. Because then again, I'm not watching broadcast TV, so I'm watching Netflix exclusively. And there's so many things you can watch. I would miss that. I could actually, if I stuck a local TV antenna on my house, I would get rid of YouTube TV and just have Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'd still get local broadcast of my games, sports games, Packers games, all the rest I don't need, and then I'd have access to Netflix, which has everything that I want.
So do you think Netflix will surpass and replace cable entirely? And this, do you think that'll just be the dominant thing that once all this is over and other companies, either Apple, you know, Apple and Amazon, obviously their streaming services aren't their main way that like revenue generator, right?
I think they're different. They're unique. They're so big. They're not Skynet because there's always going to be competition, but I think they're certainly driving this objective to get rid of traditional TV. Absolutely.
I think I didn't mention this in our podcast, but the thing that always stuck out to
what
me.
What podcast is that?
Oh, it's the You Need to Listen podcast. Text listen to 855-616-1620, and we will send you the link to the most recent episode that dropped this morning. But the thing that always stuck with me, and it's the same thing I think that happens with social media companies. I had a meeting with a friend who worked at Netflix. This was before I moved back to LA. And I was talking to him because this was early 2020. So before COVID, or maybe late 2019. Definitely before COVID had hit. It was when Quibi was coming out, if you remember that.
Yeah.
That overblown, quickly failed short form content. But it was like Apple was coming out with theirs. It was all the streaming wars. It was kind of the beginning of that. And I asked him, I was like, what is the internal messaging that is happening as competitors pop up? And he said to me, he goes, we don't see other streaming services as our competitor. We see anything else you would spend your time doing as our competitor. Reading a book, spending time with family. And like that is to me such a diabolical way that these companies think about our attention, in the fact that it is not a direct apples to apples competitor. It is literally, we are trying to make you spend all of your time here if possible, which is not great.
Well, I don't know if this is your note or something that came from Netflix, but I think this is exactly right. Netflix is the future of TV. I believe that. And just for, I don't know if anyone's texting on this, but I don't just watch movies. I watch documentaries. I learn things. I watch a lot of shows about archaeology because I'm fascinated by
it. How's your great courses going?
I've done about four of them. I love it. I've learned more about history and English history and Roman history.
Like Masterclass.
Yes, very good.
I know what you're talking about. Service.
We're subject matter experts, actors. Yeah, I would love that. But it's pricey.
Is it?
It's one more thing to pay for.
Is it more expensive than great courses?
I'm not sure.
All right.
Good question.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We only have 15 minutes left. Show goes fast.
Where'd the time go?
I know. All right, it's Spanning the State on WTMJ.
That's a no for me.
That you don't like it or you don't recognize it?
I like the dance rhythm, but does it seem like extra creative to me? No.
This is Chapel Roan, by the way. We finally got one for Receive to see whether or not he's a thumbs up or thumbs down.
I would just say this. There's like, and I'm not picking on women. You know, I don't do that. But there's like 100 female artists that do the same thing she does.
I vehemently disagree with that. This is why she's blown up as much as she has in the last year.
Because she's a new thing.
Super unique compared to a lot of what else is out there.
Billie Eilish is unique.
She is also very unique.
This Chapel Roan is not Billie Eilish. Not by any stretch of the imagination. You asked me a new artist who I appreciate? Billie Eilish.
All right, Billie Eilish is your young
tremendous
person.
Tremendous talent.
She is very good.
Along with her brother, Phineas. Yeah. Tremendous talent. There's a young artist I like.
All right. So going back to our Netflix conversation, we had someone from the 414 text in, and I think this is a great question. So is Netflix the new TV? Is it taking over? And, you know, 20 years from now, will be the dominant form of how we get our entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
How long until Netflix gets into the news business?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Why?
It's expensive. If you want to do it right, it's really expensive. And if I know anything about Netflix, they're about maximizing profit. And they spend a lot of money on their new creations, right? Their new TV shows, their movies, obviously, and all the other things they do. Sometimes they sponsor documentaries as well. Why would you? People don't consume news. They don't want to go to Netflix for news. They want to get away from news on Netflix.
So you don't think they'll ever have a foray into that?
Not in traditional, like, broadcast TV or network TV sense, no.
Which direction do you think television news is going? Because it feels like...
Broadcast television news?
Yeah.
I know what the trend is.
The same way that as our podcast this week is about social media and, like, directions that social media is going, but it also feels like a fork in the road of where cable news, nightly news is going. And so if it doesn't have a place in the streaming world, but also streaming is replacing cable slowly, what happens?
I think network news, I have no idea what's going to happen on local TV because, I'm not a fan. I think they've destroyed what was just an incredible opportunity to inform our communities with all their nonsense. But that being said, network TV is going to go long-form stories instead of boom, 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 boom.
So like 60 minutes? Like more 60 minutes? Like,
maybe
like
an hour long.
Pieces?
But they're going to have some meat and potatoes to go along with the steak of the story. They're going to have some significant time, maybe 10 minutes, 12 minutes on one story. So that you actually can inform people.
So mini documentaries?
Almost, yeah. I think, let's say the California
wildfires.
So you
think like David Muir starts having like longer stories, more in-depth stories for an hour versus the nightly 30-minute slot?
Yeah, I mean, David Muir, it's an old example. Ted Koppel used to do long-form stuff, still does for CBS Sunday Morning. Brilliant analysis of news stories and like the real implications. That sort of stuff, I think, will still appeal to people. What people are sick of is headlines.
Well, that's what I mean. So it's like, is the model of 24 hours cable news, we just got to fill the time, will that go away? As streaming becomes more and more dominant and the streaming networks don't have an interest in getting into news?
If you look at every network other than Fox, the answer is yes. They're all dwindling audiences, sometimes minuscule compared to what they used to be. Fox, because of what a Fox is and what it represents in this country right now, they're killing it. And they do it with primarily, one party, one ideology, and they're winning the argument there. The rest of them are all suffering. CNN's
whacking
everybody.
Well, that's a big thing as far as when we talk about social media and new media, of the person I sent you this morning that we were talking about, Under the Desk News, which has 3 million some followers on TikTok. She's 100,000 on YouTube. She gives the news over social media. And on any given, like when she does like a live stream on TikTok, she has more people tune into her live stream than MSNBC does. And so there is a shift, and that's what I mean as far as where does cable news survive as we go forward.
It's an interesting dynamic because things are changing. And I can tell you, Rachel Maddow is apparently coming. Either she's back or she's coming back for 5 nights a week.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, their ratings are instantly back up.
What is it about Rachel Maddow, you think? I mean, don't get me wrong.
You know what
I think
it is?
She's brilliant.
I'll
but
tell you
as
what
far
it is. It's her monologues. That's what people love. Hmm. It's like 20 minutes. You don't get that in other shows. She monologues
John
for 20
Oliver.
It's sort of a little bit different, but he injects some humor into it.
He does.
Yeah.
But that's, as someone who performs and reads off a teleprompter, the fact that he can just go 30 minutes straight, no break, straight to camera, doesn't miss a beat is.
It's brilliant.
Wildly.
Are we already done?
We'll take one more break.
Okay,
we'll come back. We'll say goodbye.
I have to say, tell everyone how amazing you are. Apparently,
yeah.
It was on the script.
Yeah. That's why you're here.
That's why I'm reading.
That's why I'm paying you. All right. We'll be back in a minute.
I believe it's time for me to fly.
Steve Scafidi, thanks so much for sitting in with me today while Brian is off. But he'll be back tomorrow, and you'll join us for a half hour tomorrow.
Yeah, so much to talk about. Thanks for having me, first off. We always enjoy this, and we have so much fun. And I just told you during the break, this is one of the funnest?
Most fun
2 hours I've done.
Didn't the nuns beat that into you?
They certainly did beat me, I'll tell you that. St. Sylvester, where are those folks now? They're probably all dead now. But I love those nuns. I could riff on nuns for a long time, and if I ever have a stand-up act, that's where I'm going, trust me. All right.
The nonsense of nuns.
I want people to do this. I want them to find our podcast. It's called You Need to Listen Podcast. A lot went into the name, but I'll tell you what, we've done 2 episodes now. It is one of the best podcasts you will listen to. Why do I say that? Because people are telling us that.
Yeah, people
every
are really
day.
Liking it, which is very fun to have the reaction that we've had from a wide range of people, wide range of ages.
The first episode
was basically about the political spectrum being more complex than left and right.
I ran into somebody that said they were going to take the quiz.
I've known a lot of people who have taken
awesome.
The quiz. Yeah,
my
sisters.
Our new one.
New ones on social media.
Ooh.
And the conversation around the pros and cons of social media, what the government should do to regulate it. If they're not going to regulate it, how should we regulate ourselves on it? We have very
so much there.
Some differing opinions on social media.
You even tried to get me to say George Carlin's 7 words, which I did not say.
No.
I think we said a couple of them.
You said one, I think.
No, two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we can curse on podcasts.
We can.
At just some don't point, have your mother listen to it.
But that's not the
your
reason
mom,
to
your
to
mom's
it.
Not a big fan when you curse.
No, I have to pay into a swear jar. So I don't,
you still do that?
That thing's thick with the bills in there because I think it's a dollar every time. No, but I love doing the podcast with you. If you want a different experience than other podcasts, check it out. It goes quick. It's like 20. I think this one's 22 minutes or something like that. We have so much fun on it. Just text the word listen.
855-616-1620. Text listen. We'll send you the link to this week's episode, or you can find it on Spotify or Apple. I just checked, it is on Apple now.
Or, of course, at WTMJ.com.
Always.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. We'll see you tomorrow. And Wisconsin's Afternoon News is next.